This is an iHeart podcast.
Whatever team Fia is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's talk about our medical institutions today, our law enforcement institutions today. Dr. Fauci's out there in the news. We are all over the place. Huge show tonight on I'm Right. How do you handle it? How should you handle it when the institutions of your nation become evil institutions? I ask that question because that's where we are now. And I can't speak for you. I don't want to speak for you. But I will tell you, for me, I don't know the answer yet. I'm not sure of the appropriate answer yet. I know we must either take back these institutions. I know that. Or we must create alternate institutions. Wherever humanly possible, we must eliminate the evil institutions. But we can't continue on the way we're continuing on. And here's, allow me to give you just a little stupid analogy, but allow me to explain. There's a 100-person village. We've done this before. That's where you live. That's where I live. We live in this little 100-person village. We're out in Africa. And there is, in one of the huts, it's the medical hut. That's where the doctors and nurses, that's where they live, work. Well, I mean, that's where they work. That's where they go in. You have any medical problems, that's where you go get healed. There's another hut. That's the hut that's kind of in charge of enforcing the law. The cops, if you will, in the village. Hey, you broke the law. Jaywalking, you didn't feed your cattle. Okay, so that's good. We need institutions like that, right? Law enforcement is a critical institution. The medical hut, that's critical. People are going to get sick, get injured. We need people to heal. And that's good. But what do you do if those institutions turn bad, hostile to the village itself? This is a question we have to ask ourselves, and we better come up with the appropriate answers because that's where we are in the country. Have you ever heard of Texas Children's Hospital? This is not just a Texas thing. You should know this is a world-renowned children's hospital. People will fly, princes will fly from across the globe on their private jets to get their children care, medical attention at Texas Children's Hospital, a revered medical institution. Well, I know I'm going to spoil this for you, but it's in Texas. And in Texas, you can't perform child mutilation trainee surgeries. You're not allowed to do that here. You're not allowed to chop off the penises of young boys, the breasts of young girls, that's a no-go. Okay. But Texas Children's Hospital is evil. So many of our medical institutions are evil. And the evil oftentimes laughs at your rules. You see, Texas Children's Hospital allegedly is still chopping off the penises and the breasts of young boys and young girls. And we have a whistleblower. The two institutions are going to work together, as you're about to see. Ethan Hames, his name is a doctor, Texas Children's Hospital. And he's blowing the whistle on Texas Children's Hospital. He was on Tucker. This is what he had to say.
When I was working at Texas Children's Hospital, I was a surgical resident, which means I was in my training phase to become a board-certified surgeon. And while I was working there, you know, the hospital had released a statement in March of 2022 that said they were unequivocally shutting down their transgender program because of the legal risks. And I quickly found out this was a complete lie, completely untrue. You know, just 3 days after that, they had placed a puberty blocking device into an 11-year-old girl. And I knew this because I worked at the hospital. I knew the people who were doing these procedures. They had told me about it. And I just saw, I saw the frequency of these procedures increasing over the next couple of months. And then you see the directors of a program that supposedly does not exist given the opportunity to speak at the hospital's most prestigious lecture series. So they would teach these general pediatricians how to ask these children about their gender identity behind the backs of their parents. They would perpetuate the lie that either these kids have to adopt a false identity, become chronic medical patients, or they're going to kill themselves. And when I understood the extent of the deception that was happening, that Texas Children's Hospital told the public they were shutting down this program in March of 2022, but behind closed doors, they did the exact opposite. They increased the scope of its practice and prioritized it to the highest levels.
An 11-year-old girl. They're performing these things on 11-year-olds. Demonic. And so Dr. Haim comes forward and says, they're still doing these procedures. They're doing them on 11-year-olds. They're doing them a lot. This stuff's still going on. So he blew a whistle on illegalities that were happening with his employer. Now, what happened next? Well, he sat down with Christopher Rufo. You want to talk about your evil institutions, the medical hut, the law enforcement hut? What if not only they become evil, they work together?
So the day I was graduating was June 23rd. It was a Friday morning, and I was in my apartment. My family was in town. I was getting ready for the ceremony later that night.
This is the night before?
No, this is the day of the graduation.
The day of, yeah.
The day of. Yeah, so it's around like 11 a.m., I think. And all of a sudden, you know, I get an aggressive, unexpected knock on the door. You know, I shuffle over. I'm wearing some stupid T-shirt and some, like, shorts I had from college. I know who it was, and I open it, and standing outside are two federal agents. They say they're with Health and Human Services and that they're investigating a case regarding medical records, and they show me their badges. And it's one of those moments where time just stops.
Yeah.
And you know, looking back on it, it's like you read about political tyranny in other countries. I read about it my whole life growing up. But I knew at that moment it showed up to my doorstep.
Dr. Haim has now been indicted by those evil law enforcement institutions, and he's facing 10 years in prison. A whistleblower told the public about illegal child mutilation going on. It was illegal. The child mutilation, not only is it demonic and wrong, it was illegal. And the federal government sent its, I mean, let's just call them what they are, thugs, sent its thugs to his home. And now they're going to throw him in a cage for 10 years. Look, he's not a one-off even about this Texas Children's thing. A nurse, Vanessa Sivaj, has since come forward and backed up a lot of Dr. Haim's claims. These things are still going on. It's really bad. And would you like to know what the federal government's response was to poor nurse Vanessa when she brought these things forward? It's almost as if they have a playbook they follow.
Hello? Hi. I'm looking for Vanessa Sivaj.
Okay.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Cassie. I'll make some FBI agent.
Okay.
This is Mr. McBride.
Hey, I'm David McBride.
Okay. Nice to meet you, sir. This is a pleasant interaction. You're not in trouble. Nor
yes, okay. All right.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
She snuck up on you there.
You want a seat, too? Are we interrupting dinner? I'm really sorry.
That's all right. What's going on?
Let me start at the beginning. So I'm sure you're aware of some of the things that have been going on at your work lately.
With regards to
Yeah, so I gotta, can we sit down for a minute? Let me do my song and dance.
Let me just say a couple things to you. There's a couple practical things that you very well may need to know and practice. You don't ever talk to the FBI for any reason without your lawyer present. If you're on the way home and you see a man or woman pulled over on the side of the road changing their tire, and you pull over to help them, and they announce to you that they're with the FBI, you get back in your car and you drive home and you don't say another word. They do the buddy-buddy routine. You mind if I come in? You mind if I sit down? The second they say, I'm with the FBI, every answer out of your mouth is, lawyer, lawyer. Yeah, how's the weather today? Lawyer, what's your name? Lawyer, lawyer, lawyer. You don't talk to these evil KGB thugs ever. And allow me to explain something to the low-T GOP. The medical institutions in this country, in the Federal Bureau of Investigation, are evil, hostile to this nation, and they will tear this nation to bits if you allow them. So they don't need brand new buildings. They don't need headquarters. They need to be completely destroyed. The Federal Bureau of Investigation should fire every single employee, and then we'll decide which ones get arrested and sent to federal prison. That may sound extreme to you. You cannot have a free country and also have an evil secret state police agency. It doesn't work that way. If you're in the FBI and you're now just a thug for the dirty commies in charge, and they'll send you like a pit bull after American citizens whenever they need someone arrested or shot like they did to that fat old man in Utah, you're the bad guy. I don't know how we exist, what our plan is to deal with a nation that's institutions have turned this evil, but we had better deal with it. And if I have to hear one more person talk about, and the great men and women of the FBI, it's just a few bad apples at the top, I'm going to throw myself off a bridge. All that may have made you uncomfortable, but I am right. We have so much to get to, medical institutions and otherwise, tonight. Talk to you about something else. The corporate world is evil. It's horrible. You see it all over the place now, especially during Pride Month. And so you, me, we have to be more purposeful with where we spend and don't spend our money. We have to kind of dance a little bit. It takes more effort than it used to. Now you need to get on your phone, look places up before you actually do anything. Pure Talk is the cell phone company you should have. Look up Verizon. You don't have to take my word for it. AT&T, T-Mobile. These are terrible companies. And they overcharge you. You want to save a bunch of money? My bill got cut in half. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV and go with the company that shares your values. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars,
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we showed you the video of those FBI agents tried to do the buddy-buddy thing at the nurse's home right off the bat. But, you know, of course, it got ugly after that. They were there to intimidate. This is according to her. Quote, they threatened me. They promised they would make life difficult for me if I was trying to protect the leaker. They said I was not safe at work and claimed that someone at my workplace had given my name to the FBI. Does that sound like law enforcement? Or does that sound like the Stasi? Joining me now, brave man, FBI whistleblower, had enough of all this filth, and now he speaks out about it. He's also a senior fellow at the Center for Renewing America. My friend, retired FBI special agent, Steve Friend. Steve, is this standard operating procedure? Show up, you do the, hey, I'm just a good dude here to help you thing, FBI, of course, and then you start threatening whistleblowers?
It seems to be. That's the standard operating procedure for them now. You have these guys, Paul Nixon and David McBride, who at best are just good Germans, just following orders. But it doesn't really matter what their motivations are. They should wind up penniless and indigent and have their families disown them for betraying their oath of office and for weaponizing the process. It's not about the process anymore. That's what I signed up for. It should be about the fair process. You gather the facts, you present them, and then that person has their day in court, if there's even a day in court, if there's even a crime to be committed here. But they're not interested in that. They're interested in finding the person and then finding a crime to attach to them. And like you said before, that's very much like a secret police force, very much like a Stasi or a KGB, not really keeping with the heritage of American law enforcement.
Steve, I understand I'm going to ask you to psychologize someone else, and that's a difficult thing to do, but I need to understand this. You've talked to us, you told us your story before. You were working on your child pornography cases, right? It's not hard to find the motivation to track down the freaking monsters who do crap like that. That's the kind of stuff that men like you sign up. You sign up to take down bad guys like that. And I'm assuming those two dorks at that front door at one point in their lives had that mentality. Maybe that's a wrong assumption. But you show up to work one day and you find out that your job that day is to go intimidate a nurse who's blowing the whistle on tranny surgeries. You know that you're the bad guy in that moment, right? On the way to the house, these guys have to know I'm the bad guy, right?
Theoretically, there's supposed to be someone who's vetted of the person of integrity. I mean, the motto of the FBI is fidelity, bravery, and integrity. But I think all too often people sort of view the motto and even the oath of office as like an iPhone user agreement. And you just check yes in order to get the accoutrements, the attachments to being a special agent with the FBI, which now at this point includes a six-figure salary, 50 paid days off a year, 3 paid hours a week to work on your mental wellness and your physical fitness. And you have unlimited seemingly number of federal holidays, which we just keep inventing out of whole cloth, including today, because no one's at work today. So unfortunately, I'm not able to get any moles give me information on what's going on. But back to these guys, look, they are either just following orders or they're doing so gleefully, which wouldn't surprise me in light of the recent revelations that we've had come out of the Judiciary Committee about the type of personnel that the FBI is now bringing in. They're not destroying the FBI. They're building an FBI that will gleefully execute orders and go after someone like this brave nurse.
I'm glad you brought this up. There was a story out. You've been talking about this from Just the News. I want to make sure I give them credit about the FBI and its internal purge of people who may not see eye to eye with leadership. What's going on?
Well, as is the case with myself and other whistleblowers like me, who were then suspended in retaliation, but the FBI suspends your security clearance so it can circumvent whistleblower protection laws. They then send a team to interview your former colleagues, and they ask you them questions, and it's under the guise of finding out if maybe you're a threat to national security. Hey, does this guy have relationships with people in Iran? Is he talking about overthrowing the government? That's necessary information if we're going to make sure he has a security clearance. But what we've found out now, and it was revealed by Just the News, is question number 2 was, does this person like Donald Trump? Question number 3 was, did this person not like to get the coronavirus vaccine? And these were compulsory questions, which is what I've been saying is really the most important part. because I wasn't in the room. They weren't asking me these questions. They were asking my colleagues, and they were forced to answer the question, clearly sending a message, if you don't answer the questions in the way that we deem appropriate, then we're going to come after you. And finally, I will say this. Can confirm this is not a one-off. This happened in my office as it pertained to me. I've talked to multiple members of my former colleagues who were asked these very specific questions. This was a systemic effort by the FBI to purge people like me and to send a warning shot across the bow of others.
Steve, what do we do without an FBI? And it's not as if I think they're about to go away like they should, but whenever you bring that up, it sounds like such a drastic step to people. Oh my gosh, we need them. Who's going to fight crime? How would a nation operate without an organization like this?
Unfortunately, people have a fundamental misunderstanding about what the FBI's actual mandate is. And it's not as broad as we think because we watch TV and movies and we think that they're chasing down bad guys in back alleys and slapping the cuffs on them. That doesn't happen. They're not first responders. They have a really narrow focus. If we got rid of the FBI, we'd return to a semblance of normality that existed in this country in the 1900s. We didn't have an armed FBI, and we should empower local law enforcement because they are more reactive and they're more responsible to their local population. They know the usual suspects. If a crime happens, they know that half dozen guys that likely did it in that area because those guys are out there riding the beat. They have the subject matter expertise. They have the experience. If you are a member of a law enforcement agency in, say, a detective role, you've gone through an academy, you rode a beat, you really cut your teeth on being a cop, and then you ascended to become a detective. In the FBI, you go to a 20-week academy, and we're now finding out they're hiring people who were former baristas or even heroin addicts, and they're assigning them to be in the premier law enforcement agency for the country.
Jeez, we are in so much trouble. Okay, let's at least talk about some good news, Steve. This Marcus Allen, what's going on here?
Well, this was a big relief, I know, to Marcus and to all of us, the suspendables, as we like to paint ourselves under that moniker. Marcus Allen, after 27 months of indefinite unpaid suspension from the FBI because apparently he was a threat to national security, well, he just reached a settlement with the FBI where they reinstated his security clearance and gave him full back pay and benefits. And Merrick Garland can say whatever he wants to Congress about the fact that they do acknowledge any sort of guilt. This is a 100% vindication that Marcus did nothing wrong and they did him wrong, and they should face the consequences beyond just paying him his back pay. There needs to be significant damages paid to him and to others like him.
Steve, does the FBI fear Congress? Have you ever been part of or heard about a conversation from the higher-ups that they're worried about this or worried about that? Because I got to be honest, Steve, I'm worried that they're not worried.
They're not worried at all, and we've actually gotten some intelligence given to us from the inside that there was apparently a televised internally in the FBI conference that went on where they are essentially making fun of the Republican Party as Congress's oversight responsibilities now fall to them because they don't fear them, and they have no reason to. The congressional Republicans, the House Republicans who have the power of the purse, have continued to fund this agency over and over again, and now awarding it with this brand new headquarters that will be double the size of the Pentagon, which, side note, the DOD has 1 million people. The FBI has 40,000. It's completely unjustified. But Christopher Wray went to the Senate a couple weeks ago and asked for $11.3 billion, and included in his opening statement was our number one priority are anti-government, anti-authority, violent extremists. And the FBI defines those as people who have a perception of government overreach.
Yeah. Steve, thank you, my man. As always, please come back soon. Jeez. Well, that was a lot, wasn't it? Well, that wasn't enough. We have Fauci out there now trying to sell his book, running his mouth, and we have another doctor here to discuss Fauci before we do those things. Look, let's talk about sleeping, shall we? Because here's how it works. I understand how it works because I'm a human being just like you. If you haven't been sleeping, you need a good night's sleep, what do? Everyone does it. You take something. Maybe it's over the counter. I don't know what you do, but how do you feel the next day after you take something to sleep? You feel awful, don't you? I always have. Awful. I think I'd have rather pulled an all-nighter than take something to sleep again. You wake up and you're half dead. Until I found Dream Powder. You see, Dream Powder, it's all natural stuff. It's melatonin, things like that. It's just a little cup of hot chocolate. A couple different flavors. I do the cinnamon cocoa. And I just sip on a little cup of hot chocolate before bed. And you kind of just ease off to sleep. You don't just pass out dead. You ease off to sleep and you stay asleep all night long. But the best part is when you wake up and you don't feel like somebody's rubbing your eyes with sandpaper and your body weighs 400 pounds. Go get some Dream Powder, man. 40% off. Shopbeam.com/Jesse Kelly. We'll be back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
How nervous are you about our ability to handle the next pandemic, whatever it might be?
I'm very concerned about that, because the misinformation and disinformation about absolutely scientifically proven life-saving interventions, it's astonishing to me that so many people by political ideology will make a decision that would actually endanger their lives. I mean, the facts are, and as a physician and a scientist, this is very painful to me, that if you look at red states versus blue states, because of people getting less vaccinated because you're a Republican versus a Democrat, there are more deaths and hospitalizations in red states versus blue states. That's horrible that that happens, that people suffer and die because of misinformation that's related to a political ideology.
Misinformation. He hates that stuff. How could you mislead people, after all? Use your position as a doctor or a scientist to mislead people? Let's talk to a doctor about that. Joining me now, Dr. Aaron Cariotti, author of the book, The New Abnormal. Fascinating read. Dr. Fauci certainly would never push, what's that word? Misinformation out there, would he, about things like ivermectin?
It's really hard to listen to him talk like that. One of the greatest purveyors of misinformation, and someone who was given probably the biggest microphone during the pandemic to explain to the American people what was going on. And time and again, he knowingly and willingly, in some cases, gave false information that was self-serving, covering up the pandemic origins, as we've seen during the congressional hearings this week, the coordination behind the scenes of this paper that was published in Nature Medicine, that is now known to be fraudulent. The people who published it didn't actually believe what they said in the paper. We know that now based on internal communications that were retrieved. The authors talking with one another about the fact that they were not convinced that this was a natural spillover from an animal host. And yet they published a piece immediately after that, insisting that that was the only plausible hypothesis and basically shutting down conversation about lab leak for the better part of the first year of the pandemic. So Dr. Fauci has used his authority and his authoritative position to basically lie to the American people, has admitted on several occasions he said things that were not true simply for political ends, And now he's lecturing us on misinformation and the fact that we're not ready for the next pandemic. I want to correct the record, too, on this red state, blue state nonsense. If you look at age-adjusted mortality, if you adjust for the fact that there's more old people in Florida versus California, which is what you need to do to compare apples to apples, Florida and California had the same age-adjusted mortality from COVID, where basically California shut down the entire state for the better part of 2 years, closed schools, doing enormous harm to young people. Florida started going down that path, but then corrected course fairly early on in the pandemic, and so didn't have the kind of collateral damage that we saw from policies that were pushed by Dr. Fauci. And they basically had the same outcomes when it came to COVID deaths, but we're going to see Florida with much better outcomes long term in terms of the health of children over the next several decades, and the general well-being of children who were not harmed by things like school closures. So Dr. Fauci has been thoroughly discredited. It is a bit demoralizing to see him continue to make the rounds in the evening news and have so many Americans deferring to his authority. I'm not sure what he would have to do further to discredit himself or what it would take for people to stop listening to him. But I think the explanation is actually along the lines of what he said, in that the issue has become politicized. And for whatever reason, they see Fauci as the foil to Donald Trump during the first year of the pandemic. I think it was sort of framed that way during the initial months of the pandemic when Trump was still in office. And there's just many, many people hanging on to Fauci as savior. Fauci is the man of science who's going to tell us what to do. I think more and more Americans are waking up to the fact that this man has been discredited, that not only has he told lie after lie to the American people, but he's done it in some cases in order to cover up the fact that his own NIH was funding gain-of-function research at the Wuhan Institute of Virology by way of this nonprofit called EcoHealth Alliance. That story has been pretty well unpacked now and pretty well told, and you can trace the funding. And so his scrambling to cover up the NIH and his potential own role in the origin of this pandemic should be the thing that I think ultimately discredits him as an authoritative voice. He's conflicted, and he's trying to cover his own tracks.
He's also talking about asymptomatic spread. He's all over the place, all like you mentioned, on every daggone news show, running his mouth. Here he was on MSNBC.
Yeah.
We were saying things in the beginning, wear a mask or not, how the virus has spread. I mean, originally it was felt, understandably but incorrectly, by the CDC, that it is spread by the same way that flu is spread, namely mostly by droplets, when in fact, most of the transmission is not only by not droplets, it's by aerosol, but also 50 to 60% of the people who transmit it have no symptoms at all. We didn't know that in the beginning.
Yeah.
My problem, doctor, is not that people didn't know. The problem is they acted like they knew. That's my problem.
That's right. They acted like they knew. And actually, some people were challenging that consensus, and they were silenced. They were censored. They were slandered in some cases. And now they've been vindicated. Of course, there's been no apology to the people who were saying this almost from the very beginning. And I'm not sure why he's still pushing the notion that it was spreading asymptomatically. There's plenty of evidence now that asymptomatic spread was not a significant driver of the pandemic. I think those who pushed masking, those who pushed social distancing, lockdown policies, needed this myth of asymptomatic spread to justify those unprecedented and harmful policies. And the reason they needed that is when people were sick, they could be told to stay home, but we're trying to initiate a policy where everyone, whether they're sick or healthy, whether they have symptoms or not, is being told that they're a potential threat to your existence, right? So you have to mask up even if you're not symptomatic. You have to stay 6 feet apart. You have to stay home. You have to not go to school. Once we realized that asymptomatic spread was not a major driver of the pandemic, the supposed justification for all those harmful policies, drops out. And so I think what you see here is Dr. Fauci continuing to spread myths that have no scientific basis. Maybe they could have been entertained as hypotheses in the first few months of the pandemic when we were still trying to figure things out. They can no longer be entertained as hypotheses, and they certainly shouldn't be put forward as conclusions the way he's doing. They've been discredited.
Yeah. Tell me about this Supreme Court case you're involved in. I know the Supreme Court has some opinions dropping Thursday, Friday. Which one are you involved in? What's going on?
Yeah, so I'm a plaintiff in a case originally called Missouri v. Biden, now known as Murthy v. Missouri. And the plaintiffs in that case are challenging the federal government and alleging that the government has been pressuring and coercing social media companies to censor disfavored information online. So censoring people who are critical of the government's pandemic policies. We now know that there was a lot of censorship related to the 2020 election. And we're discovering, as we get more and more information on discovery from subpoena and from depositions, that censorship was happening on other issues of public importance as well over the last 4 years. So we presented evidence to the court, and the court has issued an injunction against 5 federal agencies, including the White House and the CDC and the FBI and the Surgeon General, saying you have to cease and desist. You have to stop trying to pressure social media companies to censor critics of the government's preferred policies. The government appealed all the way to the Supreme Court. We had oral arguments in January, and we anticipate possibly a decision from the Supreme Court on that injunction either tomorrow or Friday. So we're eagerly waiting to see if the Supreme Court will uphold what 4 federal judges have already done. We've had a judge at the District Court in Louisiana, the 5th Circuit in a 3-judge panel unanimously upheld that injunction against the government. And I anticipate the Supreme Court will do the right thing and uphold the injunction as well. I think that's going to be very important, certainly going into an election where the government cannot and should not be censoring election-related information online, but also for other issues of public importance, like trying to get to the bottom of what happened during the COVID pandemic. It's important that that we're able to.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pose dissident opinions online, opinions that time and again have been vindicated, and the idea that the government is in any position to judge what is and is not misinformation is almost laughable, since, as we saw during COVID, the government was among the biggest purveyors of misinformation.
That's a fact. Doctor, thank you for what you do. Please, you come back anytime. Thank you, sir. All right. The education system in the country, the kids, they're after kids. They're not passively after our kids. They are after your kids, and they get into the education system because it gives them access to your kids. We have a panel coming up next. We're going to talk about that. Before we talk about that, They're after your kids. I'm after a better cup of coffee. Blackout Coffee has delivered that to me. It's not just that Blackout Coffee tastes better. It's incredible. It's an amazing cup of coffee. It's that I feel better when I drink it because of the kind of people they are. These coffee companies, these companies that sell coffee beans, oh, we'll deliver your coffee, oh, we're this, we're that, come wait in our drive-thru. These are terrible companies. Terrible companies. They hate you. It's not as if they don't care about you. They hate you. Blackout Coffee loves you. They print it on their merch. They're all about God, guns, country, and they're us. I love these guys, and they deliver it to my front door. 20% off your first order at blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. So get some merch in there, too. Coffee, merch, you'll see what I mean. blackoutcoffee.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Well, she said to me, they said to me, yeah. She prefers they, them. I got a tattoo of it so that I would remember. And every time I say she goes, your tattoo isn't working. I'm like, all right, smarty pants.
Yeah.
But they said to me, after we were having the non-binary discussion, they said, Mommy, do you think you're non-binary? And I said, I really don't. They said to me, Mommy, there are some kids in my class who don't even know their gender. So like an idiot, I say, tell them next time they're in the bathtub to look down. If it's a hot dog, they're a boy, and if it's not, they're a girl.
Which?
Then she says, they say, Mommy, that's their sex. That's binary. Mm. I'm talking about their gender, and gender is infinite. Gender is infinite. Where does a 10-year-old get those words?
Do you have any idea?
I have no idea.
Is there someone in your life that...
No. Mm. And I said to her, where did you find that? Where did you say? She said, some things I just know. Mm. There's an amazing...
Just like people know they're gay.
Correct.
I feel so old. I'm only 42, but I really feel so old. Yeah, I can't imagine where the poor daughter of the lesbian activist got the idea to be a nutball. Anyway, joining me now, Christine Yergin, host of Speak Out by Students for Life, which I love, and Jill Simonian, director of outreach for PragerU Kids, which is also a money organization. Jill, gosh, it's very obvious that these horrendous demons calling themselves mothers are abusing their children on purpose, right? Everyone can see this, that this is abuse.
Well, you know, I look at this, Jesse, and, you know, the first instinct as a mother, as someone who is, I've always said I'm obsessed with truth. I look at this and you kind of laugh and you chuckle because it's very far-fetched and ridiculous what's coming out of her mouth. However, the more important feeling that comes right after that initial giggle of mine is that I'm very, very sad. And this is very tragic because this child is being raised to be perpetually confused. And that is not good for the child. That is not good for a family unit. That is not good for a community. That is not good for a country. So it's extreme, with extreme sadness, that I actually view this clip that you shared with us.
No, it is. And I'm glad you bring up that part, that the human element part of it, not Rosie O'Donnell. She can throw herself in the Pacific for all I care. But this is a daughter, a precious, innocent child being wrecked, having her life wrecked before she even has her first boyfriend, which apparently is not going to happen anytime soon. Christine, why does this seem to happen to all these celebrities? Why is this so common with all the celebrities that they roll out their new puppies every now and then?
You know, honestly, I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that celebrities aren't necessarily paying attention to their children. We've got other people who are raising them. They have nannies, or they go to a school, and the school is pushing this leftist gender ideology that you can be anywhere or be anything under the sun. I mean, think about it. How does a 10-year-old even know that there are infinite genders? When she says, some things I just know, that's not true. You don't just know that. No one just knows that, and especially not a 10-year-old. So I think we need to be asking ourselves, where is this coming from? And a lot of times it's through social media apps. There's this social contagion where we see kids wanting to change their genders. And it's through schools, it's through outside sources. And if you're a parent and you don't know where your child came up with this idea that they could be a different gender, you need to do better parenting.
Let me ask you, are we finally digging in on this issue as a nation? I know there's a million Rosie O'Donnells out there, But it does feel like they push this maybe a little bit too far, that all the norms and normos who don't pay attention to this crap woke up one day and they found out that the social studies teacher wanted to cut little Billy's penis off, and they realized that we're dealing with a whole different animal.
Yeah, what I'm hearing, and I'm here in California, so you know what starts in California often started many, many years ago and is now finally coming to light across the rest of the nation with people looking around and saying, what the heck's happening around here? In California, it started, I want to say, decades ago, and it is being so forcefully pushed through our public school system. I don't know, Jesse, if you've heard about a school district here in Southern California, Chino Valley Unified Schools. Just last year, they finally began, they have a school board with very strong, grounded, reasonable leadership now. And that school board began pushing back against our Attorney General, Rob Bonta, saying that parents must be informed if their child at school wants to change pronouns or change genders, because this push for this gender ideology through schools is so pervasive now, and it's been happening for such a long time that now it is becoming mainstream, and reasonable parents who maybe weren't paying attention before finally are looking around and saying, what is going on? But it's because we've been asleep, and it began, it was starting to be pushed through the public school system where without parental consent.
Christine, you're about 8,000 years younger than I am. Is this something young people are accepting or rejecting? Look, I can only speak for my sons. They're 13 and 15, and them and their friends are so hardcore against this stuff, it actually rattles me sometimes, and that's amazing. But it's every now and then, they'll say something and I'll be all, my goodness, that is a rejection of what they're seeing. Are you seeing that?
I do see a lot of young people who are rejecting this notion. I see a lot of millennial parents as well who are rejecting this notion. I have a 16-year-old son, and I have a 7-year-old daughter and a 5-year-old daughter. And what I'm seeing is that parents don't want their children to learn this stuff, and that they are able to impart their values to their children, and children are saying, wait, this doesn't make any sense. And it takes a parent willingly trying to indoctrinate their child in order to make them think that this is okay and that this is normal.
Jill, why would a parent want to indoctrinate their child? It's still something I can't get my mind around. Even Rosie O'Donnell and her sick head with the crew cut on it, I'm sure on some level loves her daughter, right? So why would you do that?
Well, people have been fooled and confused. And what a word that one of my very, very smart friends, Sam Sorbo, if you know her, she taught me many years ago that people have been schooled, and we have been schooled, all of us, myself included, many years ago, under this false veil called inclusivity. And I've started calling this radicalized kindness. That's a quote, quote unquote, radicalized kindness, to the point where we, yes, want our children to be kind. We want to raise them to abide by the golden rule, to treat others as they want to be treated. We want to enforce in our schools the concept of kindness and treating each other with dignity and respect. And everyone does, in fact, deserve dignity and respect. We believe that here at PragerU Kids. But people have been schooled so radically to be kind that there has now been an abandonment, total abandonment of what is true and what is not. And again, this is happening through bureaucrats pushing this with the teachers' unions, corrupt teachers' unions, through our public schools, pushing this concept of what I call radicalized kindness to the point that you abandon all truth, so that nonsensical ideas like gender ideology and teaching children as young as kindergarten that you can be a boy or a girl and you can flip-flop in between and there is no binary and all of these nonsensical things, we're teaching them, oh no, you must accept to be kind, because we all want to be kind. But we've abandoned truth, and that's the problem in our schools and communities.
No doubt we have. Jill, Christine, thank you both so much. Come back soon. That was awesome. All right. We have light in the mood. You didn't think we were just going to let the day go by without celebrating Juneteenth, did you? Hang on.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way, and we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, it is time to lighten the mood. And look, today, it's June 19th. It's Juneteenth. And you didn't think me, sensitive Jesse, was just going to let an entire show go through without honoring a holiday. So let's take back for a moment and honor not only Juneteenth, but the brave civil rights warriors who have made days like this possible. All right, I'll see you tomorrow.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations, thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart Podcast.